ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Washington NFL owner Dan Snyder says employees' behavior described in a Washington Post story, quote, has no place in our franchise or society, end quote. Snyder says he's committed to improving the team's culture. Will the team be punished, though? ESPN's Adam Schefter.
It's the NFL's job. It will do what it feels is necessary based off the investigation that Beth Wilkinson launches and what she uncovers. The fact of the matter is, from a basic human decency standpoint, let's get this right.
Adam Schefter on First Take. 15 women who worked for the team say they were sexually harassed or verbally abused. Tennessee defensive lineman Emmett Gooden is kicked off the team after being charged with felony aggravated domestic assault. He's the second Volunteers player dismissed from the team this summer, along with running back Tim Jordan. From baseball, Angels reliever Justin Anderson will have Tommy John surgery next week. He'll miss the season. Second round at the Memorial, Tony Finau and Ryan Palmer tied for the lead. Tiger Woods may miss the cut. He's at 3 over par.
It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
It's First Take, your take on this Friday on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in for Jason Fitz. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of Daniel Snyder's inner circle, the Washington Post reported on Thursday. Among those accused of the misconduct, former director of pro personnel Alex Santos, former assistant director of pro personnel Richard Mann II, and longtime radio play-by-play announcer Larry Michael, who just retired the other day. All three have departed the organization within the past week. No allegations directly against Daniel Snyder, the owner, or former longtime GM Bruce Allen, who was fired after the 2019 season. Daniel Snyder would not talk to the Post about their report. However, Daniel Snyder did release a statement saying the behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. This story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Ron Rivera earlier this year. So right now, Washington has hired a lawyer. They are doing an in-house review, supposedly a thorough review, and they'll report back as soon as possible. The league is certainly aware, and they're involved. But Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, answered the question about what he makes of the NFL letting the law firm that Washington hired do its investigation before the league steps in.
Listen, the NFL knew that the Washington NFL team was hiring Beth Wilkinson, a respected attorney in the Washington, D.C. area, to take a deep dive into the organization's culture and to determine all the things that have gone wrong there. It is up to her to launch that investigation, make sure it's thorough, to report her findings back to the NFL. And the NFL at that point in time can decide to take action. But the truth of the matter is, do we need the NFL to go issue a $1 million fine or whatever it may be? Do we need the NFL to take away some mid-round draft pick to really have change that should be something that is just expected and common and decent? The NFL needs to rule on it. I understand it. I got it. But the fact of the matter is, it should not take a governing body in New York to make the Washington NFL franchise fall into line with the acceptable norms of today's society. Again, it's up to Washington to get this straight. They have a head coach that is determined to do that. He's trying to change that culture. We'll see if he can do that. He's trying to overcome a long time where this organization has done things like this or embarrassed itself in one form or another. And we'll see what Beth Wilkinson, the attorney, investigates, what she comes up with, and what changes that Dan Snyder decides to enact for this organization.
Well, continuing on that same thought, Adam, you know, given the laundry list of problems the Redskins have encountered, this recent investigation, all the allegations, what punishment should the Redskins be looking at as well as Dan Snyder?
Again, to me, it's secondary. I know the NFL could wind up taking action and disciplining the Redskins in a severe way. That's fine. Again, that's empty to me. That's hollow to me. What is the Washington organization going to do to police itself? Is it capable of policing itself, or does it need a babysitter in New York to step in and say, we're fining you and we're taking away a draft pick and we're suspending the owner, or whatever we're doing to try to right this wrong that has been perpetuated within this organization for a long period of time? It shouldn't come to that in this day and age. Don't we all know better? Don't we expect better? Don't we deserve better? It's ridiculous to think that the NFL would have to step in. It's the NFL's job. It will do what it feels is necessary based off the investigation that Beth Wilkinson launches and what she uncovers. The fact of the matter is, from a basic human decency standpoint, let's get this right.
Adam Schefter, our terrific ESPN NFL insider on First Take this morning. It's First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in for Jason Fitz. I understand everything that Adam is saying. You would think common sense would dictate that Washington could fix these problems, that the league wouldn't have to step in and hold their hand and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to suspend the owner, get rid of the owner. I get it. Unfortunately, though, what has Daniel Snyder done in his past to convince anyone that he is the man for the job here to fix the culture in Washington? Has anyone contributed more to the decline of that franchise than Daniel Snyder since he became the owner? So yes, I wish that they were able and equipped to fix things on their own. But I don't have any evidence at my disposal to suggest that that's the case. I think getting rid of the owner is probably the most plausible decision they can make here. That's not easy to do. But here's the thing about Daniel Snyder. If you talk to the NFL owners, they're about business. They're about money. That's just what they are. It's who they are. I'm not saying that many aren't compassionate. They're not good people. But the bottom line is, this is a bottom line league. And everything that they have done since the league was founded was about the bottom line. Daniel Snyder, to me, is not good for business. He's not good for business. I mean, we've seen sponsors threatening to leave. The name change, he was reluctant to go along with that only because likely he was facing all that pressure from losing sponsorship dollars. This is embarrassing. You know, Jerry Richardson had to sell in Carolina when his, you know, continuing as an owner was no longer, tenable. I just feel like if you're bad for business, they don't want you in that exclusive ownership club. Daniel Snyder isn't good for business. He's not. They're a bad team. That is a horrible stadium. Horrible fan experience. I was there last year covering a game. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been to FedEx probably like 5 or 6 times, but last year was the first time I was out there in like 5 years or whatever. I'm like, man, I forgot just how lousy this is. Just a corporate crowd, stadium's too big, it's half empty, middle of nowhere, no parking lot. I mean, to get dropped off by an Uber, you got to walk like 3 miles to get to FedEx. And those football fans that take Ubers or, you know, ride shares to game know what I'm talking about. Nothing that he's done to that franchise has worked out well. And I think Ron Rivera, possibly, is a good step. I've covered Ron. He's a good person. I think he's a good coach. I think that he will try his best to establish a certain football culture. But organizational cultures are more than just the football side. It's the other side. It's the business side. It's the marketing side. It's the people that work for the team that don't put on shoulder pads and helmets or, you know, make transactions every day. They're important too. And you got to have a strong ownership group. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Emily Applegate was the only former Redskins employee that went on the record to the Washington Post. Many of the other 14 had signed non-disclosure agreements with Washington, and they would not let them out of those agreements to speak on the record. But Emily Applegate spoke on the record, and she described the culture of sexual harassment in that building.
I had a, you know, week maybe or so that was great. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted and what was explained to me. And this is going to be great. And then, you know, you get your first screaming at you for something that you, it's not your fault. And then somebody makes a comment to you about what you're wearing and it just snowballs from there. And it really took most people no time to comment on my appearance.
Emily Applegate to the Washington Post discussing the climate inside that building for supposedly, according to the Post, from 2006 to 2019. And good organizations just don't operate that way. And quickly here, before we get to J.P. Finlay of NBC Sports Washington, I had someone tweet me, at Dickerson ESPN. Lots of tweets we'll get to later in the show. One person said, hey, get off your high horse talking about great organizations. Look what Robert Kraft did in New England. Robert Kraft made a very poor personal choice. There's no doubt about that. Embarrassing choice for him and his family. That was not related to the football team. That indiscretion did not occur in the building. What I'm saying is good ownership handles things on the business side. When you report to work, you feel good about working for that team. When you report to work, you feel like you're part of a winning culture, part of a successful culture where you trust your coworkers and you trust your bosses. Again, look around the NFL. The good ownership groups are the ones whose teams win perennially. Ownership groups that are kind of shaky, look at the wins and losses. They're the ones that struggle year to year to be playoff teams. First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio, the ESPN News. We're also on the ESPN app. J.P. Finlay of the NBC Sports Washington is with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. J.P., thank you so much for giving some time here. I mean, you cover the team. You're there every day. But when you read the report for the first time from the Washington Post, what was your initial reaction yesterday?
Yes, thanks for having me. It's troubling. It's disturbing. You hate to think that a multi-billion dollar organization runs in that sort of fashion. And the emotional toll on these people is unfair. If you read the whole story, there are a couple of female reporters that went on the record. I know both of them. I texted both of them last night how sorry I was, just to not really know what the extent of what was going on. And you just hope that, I mean, there's no place for it, and you hope it gets cleaned up and doesn't go, you know, doesn't happen again here in D.C. or anywhere else.
JP, do we have anything to suggest that Daniel Snyder is the right person to clean this up? I mean, his statement, which I know you've read, of course, and reported on, you know, it strengthened his commitment to changing the culture. I mean, you're there every day. The culture hasn't been good. They don't win. It's just bad fan experience, bad everything. I mean, is he the right person to turn this thing around?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's easy to say no. I mean, I feel like there's plenty of evidence that would support that he's not. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, finally firing Bruce Allen was a step in the right direction. I'd say hiring Ron Rivera, a guy that is as expected as really anybody around the NFL, is a step in the right direction, and letting Ron have significant influence over the steps the organization is taking. But still, I can't tell you certainly he is. I don't think anybody could. It's hard because you mentioned the Pats and Robert Kraft, and that was a personal choice. But then you look at Mark Cuban in the Matt situation, that he continued to run the team. You look at Jerry Richardson, the Panther situation. He was obviously forced to sell pretty quick. Is this on the magnitude of those situations? I don't know. I don't know that you can really – I don't know that these sorts of things should have magnitude levels. And mm-hmm. It's hard to know. I don't know that he's the right person to do it. I think you could make an easy argument he's not, but at the same time, he's the owner. And I've checked in with some legal experts about there's a clause in NFL ownership, Section 8.1, where maybe an owner can be removed. That's really hard to enact. And I don't know that legally they have enough to try to do something like that. I don't know that the league's going to even try to do something like that, because the comments in the time since have been that, you know, that the NFL is watching what the Redskins do and that they kind of reserve the right for discipline, but that they expect full cooperation with the investigation. Washington has, they've already hired a lawyer, an attorney, to start a complete investigation internally. We'll have to see. And, you know, the Post, good for them. They've had stories, not to this scope, but they had a story a few years ago about the organization using its cheerleaders in scandalous ways. And I don't know that there was a significant sea change in what happened with the cheerleaders after that. I don't know that there wasn't. It's just tricky because I'm a football reporter, and when you work the beat in Washington, you end up covering lots of things besides football.
Talk with J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington on First Take, Your Take. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I know, J.P., it's been a different type of offseason with no offseason programs. We haven't had a chance to get face-to-face with Ron Rivera probably since he was hired, like back in like January probably, right? So it's been a long time. But you mentioned before that he's trying to take a little bit more of an active role in overseeing more things. What have those things been that he's been trying to accomplish since he took over?
Well, I mean, at the bottom is make the football team better, right? Ron was brought in to do a lot of things, but ultimately win games, build a playoff team. And I think that's what he hopes to do and what the organization wants. Along the way, he's now been thrust into the spotlight, one, in how the organization's handling COVID and everything going around the NFL. Two, Washington is obviously in the middle of a name change, which is a radical idea for some in that organization to change the name in the first place. And the steps required to get that done are significant. I mean, you're talking marketing, logistics, physical engravings of the old logo are all over the team's headquarters. So there's a lot they have to get done. And Ron, in the middle of that, and now he's in the middle of this. So I think he signed up to be the focal point. He signed up to be, you know, the leader of the organization, but I don't know that he expected all of the things that have happened in the last month. There's no way he could have – the name change is one thing. There's no way he could have known or expected any of this other stuff that came.
Well, he's been, I mean, as front and center as you could be in these times right now where access is limited. I mean, he's done radio interviews, I've heard, across the country. He's been a little more accessible. Does Daniel Snyder have to do more, JP, than just release a statement? At some point, is he going to have to answer some serious questions here?
Should and will are different questions. I think he should answer some questions. I think he should speak to the press or do a sit-down interview. He should do something. I don't know that he will. He's put out a statement. I'm not a lawyer, but at some point these become legal matters, and you never know if just lawyers generally tell you not to say anything and to let the investigation happen, find the results, and go from there. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's some advice. I don't know, but I'm not expecting to get a Zoom conference call with Dan Snyder anytime soon.
and finally, JP, I mean, do you expect the league to take any action here? You mentioned before how it will be very hard to remove Daniel Snyder as the owner, but at some point, is it reasonable to expect that perhaps the NFL could levy some fines at Washington?
Sure. I think it's reasonable. I don't know how you punish. I mean, typical punishments in the NFL, if a team does something wrong or draft picks. Is this a draft pick situation? I think it's cash or to speculate on what the possible discipline could be is just so hard because the only perhaps comparable situation, I think, is the Panthers. And Jerry Richardson just up and got out within a very, very short time period. And clearly, this is going to be different. This investigation, I believe, was weeks, if not months. And now Washington's going to conduct their own internal investigation, which I would guess would be weeks, if not months. So I just, I would think on some level, discipline is coming from the league. What it looks like, I don't know.
JP, thank you very much for giving me some time, man. I really appreciate it. Best of luck and take care, okay?
Appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me.
JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington, with me on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. All right, coming up, what type of punishment should the league dish out to Dan Snyder, the Washington team? Plus, if you were in the position NFL players are in, would you play this season? Welcome back to First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson, in for Jason Fitz. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Want to hear from you? Tweet me at DickersonESPN, at DickersonESPN. Give us a call, 888-729-3676, 888-SAY-ESPN. Talking about what should happen next year. After the Washington Post reported yesterday that 15 former Washington football employees have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. 888-SAY-ESPN. What type of punishment should the NFL hand out to Daniel Snyder or hand out to the Washington team? Let's try Lou in Connecticut. He's on ESPN Radio. Lou, what do you think should happen next?
Dan's got to go. He's got to go. I've been a Washington Redskins fan for over 40 years, and I, you know, I'm old enough to remember the glory years back in the good old 80s when, you know, when they took away the mantle of America's team from the Dallas Cowboys. That's the whole reason why I became a fan of them in the first place, because I couldn't stand the Cowboys. But, you know, Jack Kent Cook's got to be rolling in his grave right now, seeing what's happened to his team. I want to exonerate Dan Snyder for the whole name change thing because, you know, they were called the Redskins for like, you know, 80 plus years. So, you know, that's not his fault, but, you know, everything since he's bought the team, man, it's just been like absolute, it's been a disaster, you know, and he's just blown it on so many calls and just, he blew it, like, with Marty Schottenheimer, as far as I'm concerned, only giving him 1 year, never gave him a chance, and then he goes to San Diego and, you know, turns the Chargers into a winner. And, you know, and just all this stuff, like, you know, the whole front office disagreements on, like, you know, which quarterback to draft and everything, it's just, it's for all of us, you know, old diehard Redskins fans, it feels like the end of the world right now. You know, our team doesn't even exist.
Well, Lou, thank you for the phone call. It has to be so frustrating to be a fan of that team. And last year, John Keim, who my colleague and good friend who covers Washington's NFL team for our NFL Nation group at ESPN, ESPN.com, he wrote a story, a long feature on the culture of Washington. And he asked some of us if we had former Washington players on our teams that we currently cover, and I cover the Chicago Bears for ESPN, if we could talk to the player and ask them to differentiate between the cultures of teams they played at and then the culture of Washington where they also played. And so on the team I covered last year was HaHa Clinton Dix, who was a safety. Didn't have a good run in Washington. Had 1 year, was not very good for them. But he was, you know, good in Green Bay, had an okay year for the Bears. He's left, signed a good contract in free agency elsewhere this past spring. And I sat with HaHa, and he was great, and he was flat out. He goes, look, he goes, Green Bay, Chicago, completely different. Now, Green Bay, they win a lot. That's a good culture. Bears, they're doing things better. They're trying to make steps. They've spent a lot of money upgrading facilities, upgrading workspaces for all their employees, doing a lot of things, trying to make things better. Okay, they're trying. They still drafted Trubisky over Mahomes, but whatever. Another story for another show. But HaHa Clinton Dix goes, man, he goes, you know, you're coming here. It's like, wow, this is a real football team, NFL, great facilities, amazing. You walk in, you got great locker rooms, great everything. He goes, you go to Washington, and he's like, ugh. He's like, you know, it's all about the owner. Everything's about the owner. And they even make you pay for coffee. I said, they make you pay for coffee? He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, okay. So maybe that's since changed, but he made that comment to me. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to see things. It's hard to really see things changing unless ownership changes. Usually in life, I've learned this about people. It's very hard to change who you are in your 40s and 50s. That's not the time to change. The time to change and establish who you are as a person is in your early years, you know, maybe your 20s, okay? You can have an epiphany maybe in your 30s. But when you get older, you are who you are. I think Daniel Snyder is who he is, and the odds of him changing things around, I think, are very slim. First Take, Your Take, Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. On top of all of this, we're still trying to figure out if we're going to have an NFL season start on time. Training camp's supposed to open up in a couple of weeks. A lot of ongoing conversations right now. Demora Smith, the NFLPA head, just had a conference call about an hour ago with media members where he said that, to his knowledge, no player has said they're going to opt out yet of 2020 because of COVID-19. It's all very fluid. It's still not going to be super safe for these players coming back to work. Dominique Foxworth and Damian Woody hosted First Take this morning. And, you know, Damian said he wouldn't play this year, but Dominique said, you know, that choice for him wouldn't be so simple.
Well, for me, it's easy. I would not, because my wife is, she has autoimmune disease, and so she's immune compromised. So I wouldn't put, you know, I wouldn't put my wife and my family in that type of situation. But listen, that J.J. Watt tweet brings up a lot of questions than answers as far as the National Football League is concerned. We, you know, like he laid out, players don't know if they're going to be tested daily. What if a guy tests positive in a room? You know, you have guys in these meeting rooms, guy tests positive. What's the protocol? Who's getting quarantined? What are the game day rosters going to look like? There's a lot of questions. What is the pay? What is the pay going to look like if a guy tests positive and he misses extended period of time, with COVID? So there are a lot of questions that seems to be out there. And the fact of the matter that the Houston Texans are going to be reporting to their facility, the rookies, on Monday, it seems like everything is just going in hyperdrive and we don't know a lot of these questions that are being presented out there. So for me, the answer is simple. I would not.
Yeah, I think it's not as easy an answer for me. I think the answer is probably yes, I would play. And I think at 37 years old, which I am now, and a father and a husband, I think it's easy for me to say, no, absolutely not. I wouldn't take that risk for myself or my family or any of the people that are that important to me. But I'm trying to think back to when I was in my 20s and I was a football player, and being there for my teammates was the most important thing. And also the money was really important. Whereas if it was early in my career, I wasn't making nearly as much money, but I knew that I couldn't afford to skip a season. I might be out of the league. Then it's late in my career where you're making bigger checks and you're like, this is the money that I'm going to live off of for the rest of my life, or the money that is going to be able to send my kids to good schools, and the money that's going to be able to help me buy a house for my parents. Like, all that stuff out there, I think that I would talk myself into going and playing, exposing myself to that risk. I mean, we are playing football. Like, it is a high risk endeavor. So I want to say that I will be mature enough to recognize that the smart thing to do would be not play. And Damian, like you, my wife too has, she has Crohn's disease. It's a immunocompromising disease. So I would be very careful. And I thought a lot about it. And I think I would just live in a hotel for a year and work out of a hotel, and we wouldn't see each other. But I know it sounds trite and trivial to make it all about the money, but those contracts were getting pretty big, and I'm not just going to pass that up, because that means a lot to buy all the things that I pointed out. Like, I wouldn't have been able to buy my mom a house, my mom and dad a house, and that stuff is substantial to me. And I recognize that I wouldn't, if it were my son, I would be like, no. Absolutely not. But you just have different thresholds for the risk that you're willing to take as a caregiver and as a breadwinner for not only your immediate family, but your extended family. So I don't know. I recognize that what you're saying is probably the right answer. But if I'm trying to be honest, I think I would try to do everything I could to figure out a way to get out there, be there with my team, and get them checks, frankly.
I agree. I think 99% of the guys out there have the similar mindset. I remember, you know, Don, we both played in the league for a long time. And, you know, especially in your 20s, man, you feel like you're a gladiator. Nothing affects you and all those type of things. And you play through all types of injuries and, you know, guys have been sick and all those type of things. You find a way to get through it. I just think that this is a totally different animal. And I'm just speaking on just my particular, you know, situation. I don't know how many other guys are going to be dealing with the same question or the same situation that I just posed. But again, you know, from a National Football League perspective and the Players Association, there's a lot of questions about this that, quite frankly, if I'm a player looking at this whole situation, I would be very skeptical and I would be very worried about what I am stepping into this season. You know, is my money going to be guaranteed if I catch COVID? Are they going to limit that? There's a lot of question marks out there that we just don't have the answer to right now.
Lots of questions. And training camp is supposed to open up in just a couple of weeks. Long way to go until the NFL and the NFLPA come to some sort of agreement here. I understand exactly what Damian and Dominique are saying. Good stuff this morning on First Take. All right, coming up, it's been quite the past few weeks in D.C. for Daniel Snyder. What are the chances he actually sells the team? First Take, your take. Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz, ESPN News, ESPN Radio. We're also on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN is our phone number, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at DickersonESPN. Your thoughts on what sort of punishment the NFL should levy against Daniel Snyder and the Washington team in light of the report in the Washington Post where 15 women who used to work for the club have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of Snyder's inner circle. Judith is calling from Indiana. Judith, you're on ESPN Radio. What's your opinion?
Okay. I have heard no rumors of anyone that's even interested in buying that team from Dan Snyder. Have you?
Judith, it's an NFL team. The league is worth about maybe $13, $15 billion. So if anyone that can have the cash to buy a team or buy an ownership share is going to be incredibly lucrative for that person or those individuals. I haven't heard of one person to the forefront because we're still early in this process. But I'm telling you, if it ever went up for sale, there would be no shortage of people interested in buying it.
Really? Really? Okay, that's it, Jeff. Thank you, honey.
Well, thank you, Judith. I appreciate the call. Appreciate that. No, I mean, look, it doesn't matter how devalued you might feel a franchise is in the NFL. People want to be owners of the NFL because it's a billion-dollar industry. I thought very powerful stuff from L. Duncan this morning on First Take. Of course, L. is on The Intersection on ESPN Radio, SportsCenter anchor, where she asked males to be allies against misogyny.
And this is where I asked for allyship from our brothers.
I'm getting upset because if this was a situation involving racism, then the men on that field would take a stand and they would threaten and they would use their power. But it's women. That's how you affect change, is those 53 dudes on that roster saying, I won't play for this man because they're standing up for women and no one will do it. Nobody stands up for women. We say, this is what you get. You entered this field, you knew what you were doing. And so it's just a part of it. And I'm getting upset because I just, when? What else has to happen? What has to happen? They have to be accused of actual sexual assault? Like, what has to happen for somebody to stand up for us and say enough to use their power and their clout and their cachet for us? This is enough of this. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing these stories and I'm tired of being numb to them and saying, yep, yeah, no, yep, yep. That's part of it. Like, and that's why nothing will change, because no one will stand up for us. Nobody that has any power to stand up for us will stand up for us. It won't happen.
Appreciate what Elle had to say right there on First Take. Who has the power to stand up for everybody is the NFL. Ultimately, yes, you want to ask players to voice their opinions, of course. But, you know, the NFL, the owners, even though they are in charge of putting the commissioner in the position that he's in, the owners should still answer to the league. The owners will not answer to the players. This is where the NFL needs to come in and say, look, this is bad for business. This is bad for humanity. This is bad for these poor women that have been subjected to this, to anyone that's been treated poorly by Daniel Snyder's, you know, operation here. And again, I'm not saying that anything was directly implicated at Snyder. But when you're the owner of a team, you have the responsibility to know what's going on in your building. You can't use the whole "I didn't know" excuse here. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. When you own a business and things go wrong and people are mistreated, even if you're not the one directly mistreating those people, it is still your business. You are responsible. You are at the top. And if you knew this was going on and didn't do anything about it, you got to be gone. And if you didn't know about it and it was going on, I strongly question the wisdom of having you atop that structure, because you should know what's going on. It's your team. Do something about it. And everything that that owner has done in the past does not convince me that going forward, they're going to be in the right position to change anything of substance. All right, ESPN Radio Afternoon, Stan Verrett, Kevin Connors is coming up next. Enjoy your weekend. It's First Take, Your Take.